Hey there, and welcome back to Seasons of Life here on 101.9 CITR FM Vancouver. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Hukkamelem-speaking Musqueam people. Welcome this lovely Tuesday night, and let's get started. Hello, welcome back. Another amazing, wonderful Tuesday evening. We're joined today by a very special guest. Who are you, sir?
Donovan. Hi, it's me. I'm a special guest. I don't know.
Yeah, I would say you're pretty special. I mean, how do we know each other? How do we meet?
Oh my gosh. Was it like the Catholic Church?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Go all the way back then.
Yeah, back when, you know, catechism type vibes.
You know, it was what it was. I don't know. It had this weird little like quirks. It was a vibe.
It was cute. It was cute.
Yeah. So we both know all these prayers.
Yeah, they're still like tucked away in my brain. If someone asked me to recite them, I probably could. I just don't know if I would choose
explicitly not to. I mean,
yeah,
maybe I could try. I just forget it halfway through.
Yeah, no, totally.
Anyways, so I asked you to pick some songs for this season of your life.
Yeah.
And how did you figure out this question? What did you kind of think of when I asked for this?
So when you said that, I was kind of like, wow, that's a lot of creative freedom and kind of scary. But then I realized that I kind of wanted to pick songs with regard to like how the last maybe year and a half of my life has been with regard to just like coming out and, you know, being comfortable with myself and with regard to like gender identity and whatnot. So that's kind of the direction that I went in when choosing the songs.
Perfect. Yeah. So I think we have a lot to dig into. We'll start with our first song. It's by Dad Thighs, which the name...
really good name.
Why did we pick this song? It's called Mount Pleasant Dream.
Yes. The reason I picked that one is I know there's like a lyric in it that says like, it's tough being 21, but it's fun. And that's kind of the energy that we've created in the studio, like for the last year of my life. I feel like it's a really like, am I allowed to swear on this? I don't know.
Yeah, that's everyone's top. I should have an FAQ. Go for it.
That's okay. But yeah, it's like, I feel like the last year has been like kind of shitty, but like sometimes, you know, there's good and bad to everything. And that's kind of like, it's like the concept of it, like not being, you know, linear when it comes to how you're feeling, especially at this age. Cause I feel like you're still on the cusp of like adulthood and not really knowing what you're doing. So that's kind of why I chose this song.
Absolutely. Okay, awesome. So we'll listen to it, talk about it a bit more, also talk about, you know, maybe some of the lyrics or what we feel about the song, and then we'll get going. So thanks for tuning in to Seasons of Life. This is Mount Pleasant Dream by Dad Thighs. So that was Mount Pleasant Dream by Dad Dies, if you can guess. That is a Vancouver band. How did you learn about them?
One of my roommates showed me this band, and I was like, oh, wow, okay. And I think a few of the people I live with are actually, like, they know the people in this band. Maybe personally, I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what kind of stands out to you, besides obviously the one lyric, is there anything else that kind of really gets you going about the song? And maybe how does it relate to the season that you're going through?
Yeah, it was kind of just like, I mean, to me, it has like the feeling of just kind of like, I think the past year I like moved into a new space back in October where there's all these people that I've never met before. And it was just a really like nerve-wracking experience. And I was like, maybe we're all in the same boat, but I feel like we're also at different parts in our lives. And you kind of realize like being here, you're like, oh, we all just kind of hate what's going on and inside, but at the same time it's like we're all just kind of working together to create something. And it's kind of, you know, it's a weird experience to be this young but also feel so old sometimes because you're just tired.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, what do you mean by we all hate what's going on inside, like the house or
no, just like I think everyone gets along here, but I think I mean more just like, oh gosh, sorry, the train.
Yeah.
I think more just like internally, because I feel like everyone's dealing with different things and going through different parts of their life.
Mm-hmm.
So like that kind of thing.
Totally. And what was the big thing when you're moving into this house? What was the big thing that you were kind of grappling with?
Definitely starting in a new space. And it was the first place that I lived in where they only knew me as being like a trans person. And I was nervous because I was like, I don't really know how that's going to be. I don't know if it's actually going to be like a safe space and if I'm going to feel comfortable enough to be authentic. So that was kind of, you know, what was going on in my head, I guess, the thing that I hated with what's going on because I was nervous. But
yeah. And how'd that make you feel?
It was weird. I was really anxious for a while. And I think even maybe like the first month when I moved in, I felt like I was kind of holding back of, you know, like talking with everyone because I was like, oh, like, you know, what if, like, as much as I, you know, wanted to put out into the world how I was feeling and who I was like, maybe I should like hold back. And I don't know. I think it was probably a part of me that just was still not quite comfortable. And I didn't want it to show, but I think it, you know, eventually when time passed, I felt a lot more comfortable and it ended up being a really good space to be in.
Totally. And what made you feel more comfortable?
I think getting to know people and then realizing that, you know, everyone who lives here, honestly doesn't care about the fact that I'm, you know, a trans person. Like, it was more just about, like, you know, if you get along and you all kind of have things in common, you end up just bonding over that. And it didn't matter anymore. And I think compared to like a workplace or like a different space where you're with a bunch of strangers that you're not going to see all the time, you don't necessarily make the effort to put out there who it is that you are. And I think being here, you know, there's like a lot of vulnerability and a lot of appreciation for vulnerability. So I think that's why I ended up feeling a lot more comfortable because I was able to be open and other people also put out that energy that I was putting out. So it was reciprocated.
Interesting. So they kind of matched your energy then.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was really nice.
Yeah, that is nice to hear for sure. So we're going on to your next song, kind of. A Lot's Gonna Change.
Sure.
By Waves Blood. Now, does this kind of play into this movement or the fact
Definitely a little bit. Yeah, so I think there's like a line, I can't remember specifically, but it has to do with like the singer being like back to a time when I was like a young girl. And I think that, you know, I went through so much of my life, you know, presenting female. And I think it's like definitely had to do with like a transitional period of my life and also just like my identity. And I think it was just the kind of song that's like, you know, apprehension of what is to come, but also excitement.
What's it like to transition or to go through a transition?
It's weird and it's good and it's exciting. I think for me it was like socially adapting and being more open about, you know, who I am as a person, it was like completely terrifying. And I think for a while, like even, you know, before I came out, I was kind of grappling with the idea of not even myself, like partly that because I was nervous. I was like, is this really what, you know, I'm feeling and what I want? Because there's always that self-doubt of just, I think, mostly being fearful of how other people are going to perceive you. And so I think it took a lot for me to finally realize that it didn't really matter what people thought. And as much as there might be, you know, some people will have issues with it, it was more about me being comfortable with myself. And a lot of the past year and a half has just been me becoming more confident in, you know, I guess just me, like an authentic, you know, being authentic. And I think for a while too, when I first came out, you know, I feel like for me, there was a time where I was trying to figure out like who it is that I was. And there was like a moment where even after I'd come out, I felt like, I was like, oh, should I like be overcompensating and like hyper-masculinizing like myself or something? And after a while I realized I'm like, I don't have to do that. I can just, you know, be me. And yeah, and it was totally fine. And nobody was going to judge me or think otherwise if I was going to just be myself and not feel like I had to conform to a certain type of person. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, we'll play A Lot's Gonna Change, and then we'll talk about it a bit more. And for sure. Maybe have an ad. Gotta support the station somehow.
Love a good ad.
Yeah, I love a good ad. Okay, so this is A Lot's Gonna Change by Ways Blood.
Thank you.
So that was A Lot's Gonna Change by Waze Blood. So you said that there was a lyric in there that you really kind of stuck out to you. What was that?
Yeah, I forgot even like when I was talking about the song beforehand, I was like, oh wait, there's that one line. yeah, it's if your friends and your family sadly don't stick around, it's high time you learn to get by. Mm. And that's a, you know, a pretty relatable lyric, I think, for me, because it's kind of like when I came out, I kind of realized it was, you know, if there are people in your who are in your life right now who don't support you anymore because of this change, because of this transitional period in your life, then, you know, you don't have to hold on to that, and it's okay to let go, and you should move on from it, because, you know, maybe you don't, you shouldn't want those people in your life if they're not going to support you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like we were talking about that too, is that there's, especially when it comes to queer experience or you know, having mm-hmm. to come out and establish yourself, at times it does end up becoming an ultimatum, unfortunately, of, you know, yeah. this is who I am, kind of take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is stressful for sure. And what kind of, you know, when would you listen to this song? Like, what were you doing when you would listen to this song?
I'd honestly just be like sitting in my room or like on like a bus or something, or even like before work a lot of the time. Because I think I just, yeah, I found that, you know, there was a lot of apprehension in realizing that certain relationships in my life weren't going to be the same. Mm. And so I would listen to it a lot to just be like, yeah, you know what? It's, you need to, you know, be able to be strong enough to move forward regardless of how people are going to act, and whether it be in a workplace or actual like friends and family in your life. I kind of realized like, you know, you can only advocate for yourself and for you who you are for so long before you realize like if the people that you're talking to are just like still going to be weird about it or not validate who you are, then, you know, just keep moving forward and just maybe cut those people out. If they want to cut you out, then it's probably easier.
So did you find that a lot of people left you when you came out?
Not a lot, but there were a few people who had a lot of choice words to say about you know, being a trans person and the concept of being transgender in general. There were, yeah, a few friends have, we've since parted ways just because they, you know, we weren't on the same page and they weren't willing to, you know, be more, I guess, open-minded. And I hate using that, but I guess that would be the best way to explain it. And I also had to leave a few workplaces too, just because I, you know, felt uncomfortable and that they wouldn't use my preferred name and preferred pronouns. And so that was really hard to realize that even in something like that, you know, like in a professional setting, people won't always respect that. And so it was a challenge, but I've definitely felt like it's made me stronger in a sense, because I'm just more aware of the fact that, you know, that can still happen, but I'm not, it doesn't hit me like a ton of bricks anymore because it's unexpected. It's more just kind of, you know, coming to terms with that and being like, oh, you know what, this can still happen. And, you know, it's whatever, like, you don't have to hold it so close and take it so personally.
Mm. So what could people do to be, maybe from your experience, what could have changed to make you feel more comfortable?
I think for me, it was honestly just, I get like, if you, the thing that I've always said, I think since I've come out was, it's not about like, cause I know people can make mistakes with regard to, you know, pronouns and name and everything when you first come out. And, yeah, for me, it's not about, like what you're actually saying, if you mess up and whatnot. It's more about intent. So if you're intending to, you know, be harmful or, you know, misgender someone or use the wrong pronouns out of malice, I think it's a completely different thing than deliberately, you know, not using them. And I think it's more of like a microaggression type thing if you're working to basically just not validate the person's experience and to harm them or make them feel bad about it. So I think it's just more, the best thing that you can do is just try.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Because I think a lot of people do, I think I have a hard, like, they feel like they're going to mess up and they kind of get stressed and then kind of avoid the interactions from people that I've spoken to. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just from what I've heard, and I want, like, if you agree with it, it's just like trying your best to just treat people like not only just like they're human, but just how they want to be treated. Trying your mm-hmm. best to do that and not be come from malintent. Is that kind of like
yeah absolutely. I definitely do see that too. Like, I've had, you know, a few people too, like friends and even family, just being very nervous, and you could tell that, you know, they didn't necessarily want to have conversations because they were afraid that they would slip up and they would, like, they were like, oh my gosh, like, if I use the wrong thing, I'm so sorry. And it's, you know, it's kind of awkward too for me if someone's like making a big deal out of messing up too, because most of the time those aren't the people who are intending to, you know, use the wrong name and use the wrong pronouns. And it's more just kind of like, I think a lot of people don't realize that it's okay to make mistakes if, you know, you're, as long as you're trying, like I said. And a lot of the time, yeah, it can be really awkward for both of us, but the reality is as long as, you know, we're both kind of on the same page about, you know, yeah, like intentions, I think that's a lot more of a, yeah, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Well, we're going to go into our next one, which is okay. Pretty Boy. I can see kind of where this is going, baby.
Yeah.
So why did you pick this song?
Yeah, so I think this has to do kind of more about like when I started feeling more confident and comfortable, and especially as like not only as like a trans person but as a queer person, and, you know, being, yeah, more like self-love, I guess, if that makes sense.
Mm.
And how I was presenting out to the world finally. How everything's wrong. You put your hands under my shirt. Like, yeah, the energy is different.
Perfect. Well, I'm excited to hear it. This is Pretty Boy by TV Girl here on Seasons of Life. We're with Donovan today.
Thank you. You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
So that was Pretty Boy by Phoebe Girl. Tell me a bit more about what were you were talking off air about how this song related to you. Can you explain?
Yeah. So I think for me, I know like maybe it's not how the song was meant to be interpreted, but you know, to each their own. But yeah, looking at it, there's the line where it says like pretty boy, like are only like you're only good for one thing. And I was saying like off the air how I felt like that's almost kind of like a reference to like being a fuckboy. And I think in my life when I came out and I was trying to like maneuver and like move around through life and being unsure about how to present, I was like, there was one point in this time where I was like, should I overcompensate and, you know, develop toxic masculinity, because I felt like it would help me fit in more. And I realized that that was stupid and that I was, there was no reason for that. And I, you know, I've always, as much as I was kind of aware that I wanted to come out and transition, there is still a big part of me that, you know, embraces femininity and, but also masculinity, and kind of, you know, realizing that you're allowed to have both and not just have to conform to one thing, was something that I, you know, realized. And, you know, since then I've felt a lot better.
Yeah, totally. I could see that. I mean, gender in itself is such a complicated minefield of stuff. So how would you identify now?
Yeah, so I guess with regard to gender, I identify as a trans mask non-binary person. So I do, you know, I would say that I'm like a trans male, but at the same time, I don't mind using like they, them pronouns, but also he, him. But for me, it's kind of like, I feel like a pretty fluid person most of the time. And the best way to describe myself would just be, yeah, kind of someone who like floats a little bit. And I do, yeah, I knew that like transitioning was necessary for me to feel more comfortable with myself, but I still do, I guess like break the binary, if that makes sense. Like there's a part of me, like I still enjoy, you know, wearing things that most, you know, cis men might not wear or might not feel as comfortable wearing and putting out there. And yeah, it's something that, yeah, I've kind of finally, you know, accepted and come to terms with, because for a while I was kind of floating with pronouns and identity too. So
yeah, so for the people at home, trans mask being transgender, masculine, non-binary meaning that you don't fit either the binary male or female identity, correct? Okay, sounds good. Yeah, because I feel like sometimes people get caught up with the terms, but they're pretty simple when you actually get to figure
for sure.
It out. Yeah,
for yeah, sure. You just like break it down and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it makes sense for sure.
Totally.
Awesome. So yeah, I really did like that song. Kind of the whole, it feels very kind of fun. It reminds me of, who does it remind me of? Not really Starfucker, but like one of those like 2000s.
Sorry, who?
Starfucker. You don't remember Starfucker?
I don't think I do.
Oh
but...
my gosh, they're so good. Look them up. It's okay. STRFKR, all in caps.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. I have.
They did like Gregory Ishipoff or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways,
yeah,
no, it was I was looking at 2000s indie recently and realized like, wow, 2000s was actually quite a while ago. Like, will listening to MGMT be like me listening to Joni Mitchell now? Like, will my kids be like, oh my god, MGMT?
Yeah, and you're like, I was there for that.
yeah, totally. That's anyways, so funny. Yeah, I think about that sometimes, like, huh, what will be the, also what music will I give my kids?
Nicki Minaj.
Exclusively.
Yeah, only. Just Super Bass on repeat, actually. But
yeah, actually, imagine the lessons that we're teaching with Super Bass on repeat. I think the world would be a better place if all we listen to is Super Bass on
absolutely repeat. We will achieve world peace.
Possibly.
For legal reasons, this is a joke.
You know, I think it might have some real wide-reaching implications for the better. Yeah.
I mean, like, look how we turned out, right?
God love Nisi Menjaj. Anyways.
Nikki Menjaj.
Nikki Menjaj. Anyways, the worst year of my life, I think, is the next one.
Yes. So this one's a little bit more, not like intense, because it's a very, like, when you listen to it, it's like, you're like, oh, this is a bop, but the lyrics are kind of intense, and this is more kind of like, you know, with regard to like mental health, and that kind of thing. Like, obviously there's a few lyrics and it's pretty self-explanatory, so I guess you'll just realize that. But
okay, sounds good. So we'll listen to The Worst Year of My Life, and then we'll keep going on Seasons of Life. So this is The Worst Year of My Life on Seasons of Life by Jason Bajada.
He decided he wanted to play the game. Never had Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. You remember Pilate from the New Testament?
Pontius Pilate. He fiddled well.
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show on Sunya!
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
I'm not going to do it, girl. I'm just thinking about it.
Okay, so that was The Worst Year of My Life by Jason Bajada. I hope that's how you say it. So tell us, what kind of stuck out to you? Why did you pick this song?
Yeah, so for this one, let me just think here. yeah, there's a lot of the lyrics have to do, well, I mean, there's one point where he's just saying, like, he was going to kill himself and just, like, about suicide and whatnot. And I think there's, you know, a point in life or even for me, like, where, you know, my mental health was, like, in the shitter and I was just kind of, like, not really knowing what to do because existence is really difficult sometimes. And but there's one lyric where it's kind of like, let me just figure that out. It has to do with, it's the worst year of my life, but I still love you, baby. And I know that that's probably about, like, another person, but for me, it kind of has to do with, you know, self-love and myself and just being like, this is kind of shitty, like, what I'm going through, but, you know, I still have to kind of hold on to hope about, you know, being proud of myself about how far I've come and also just, yeah, like, appreciating myself and just being like, you know what, as much as things are really difficult right now and life can be really difficult, you know what, I love myself and I should remind myself that that is a thing that I am allowed to do.
Mm-hmm. Was that hard to do when you're kind of in the pits of those feelings?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like, even, like, before coming out and stuff, there was a couple years, I think, where I think, honestly, my mental health was pretty impacted by just not being comfortable with myself and not being able to recognize that I was allowed to change that. And so for a while, when I was grappling with, you know, all of these things, and then on top of that, just, you know, your classic lack of serotonin, I think it had to, it was really difficult. And I was kind of able to, you know, work through that. It was really, really difficult too. And, you know, healing isn't linear. But the gradual change of, being able to talk more about experience in order to, you know, come to terms with more things about yourself, and getting to know yourself through that, you kind of learn to embrace change and embrace, you know, the difficulties in life and be more okay with them and be stronger and able to handle them more, I guess, too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, that comes on to Midnight Love, kind of, by Girl in Red, the beloved Girl in Red. Now,
Yes.
This song, what are we feeling? Why did we add this next?
So this has to do more with kind of romantic aspects of life, I guess, like when it comes to relationships and being more, knowing your self-worth, if that makes sense.
Totally. So we're starting off with Mount Pleasant Dream, go up to A Lot's Gonna Change, then we're on to Pretty Boy, Worst Year of My Life, and then now, finally, we've found some love.
Yes, we have.
So we'll listen to Midnight Love by Girl in Red and then talk more about it after that. Great. Yeah. So here we go. I'll play it now.
When you need some love, I know. In recent weeks, the National Inquiry into Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, Girls, and Two-Spirit, Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans, Queer, Intersex, and Asexual Peoples released their final report.
From everyone here at CITR and Discorder, we would like to encourage all listeners, especially those with settler heritage, to take the time to read the report.
Consider ways you can work decolonial practices into your daily life.
To read the report, please visit mmiwg-ffada.ca or Google Reclaiming Power in Place Final Report.
So, that was Midnight Love by Girl in Red. So, who did you fall in love with?
Oh my gosh. You know.
You have to tell me who. About the love.
Name drop. No, I'm just... honestly, okay, there's two different ways that I've interpreted this song. And the first one was just... Actually, no, there's only one way that I've interpreted this song. Sorry. But yeah, I think for me, it had to do with... relationships. Actually, no, there is two ways. Oh my goodness. So relationships, but also with myself. So the first thing that I, you know, thought of when I first listened to this song was being like, oh wow, this really resonated with me. Like the line of the, you know, the classic, like, I can't be your midnight love when your silver is my gold. And it, for me, it kind of had to do with, you know, falling for a person and you realize that, you know, you're putting them on this super high pedestal and, you know, they're your gold, they're your everything, and you love them so much and you care about them and they're the most important thing in your life. And but it is not necessarily reciprocated, or at least to that degree. And I think this was a big thing for me when it comes to long-term relationships, just in general, through the course of my life. Because I think I realized that a lot of the time I... you know, would fall for people and just be like, wow, this is the most important thing. And only to realize that, you know, it wasn't necessarily reciprocated and that maybe I was, you know, giving people too much and not focusing on myself. I tend to lose myself a lot, I think. At least I did in past relationships, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, I mean, I don't think that's at all uncommon. I feel like that's definitely, yeah. And at least sometimes we also paint pictures of who we want the person to be versus who they might actually be, which is so challenging.
Oh, absolutely.
But who, what's love without a little bit of trauma?
Spice.
A little bit of spice.
Trauma. Yeah. Add a little spice.
Add a little spice. No, but yeah, I think that's like one of those things when you like someone, that kind of like give and take, and you just hope.
Yes.
It's reciprocated the same way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think for me too, like regardless of, even if it was reciprocated, I know I tended to kind of just, you know, keep wanting more and, you know, taking it in and being like, you know what, I felt like as much as I, you know, would appreciate people and love them, I also realized that maybe I deserved more and I wasn't getting it. And it wasn't selfish of me. You know, to want it. And for a while I felt like it was, but, you know, after months of therapy and you talk things over, you kind of realize that, you know, self-worth is kind of really fucking important. And, you know, it's not bad of you to, you know, want to feel loved and to feel appreciated. And, you know, especially if you're giving a lot towards anything in your life, it's kind of nice to get something back every once in a while.
For sure, especially when it comes to love, which is definitely something about give and take.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. So, good to have that little convo. And we're on to Garden Song.
Ah, yes.
And I think, do you want to play it? And then we can also talk about that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Works for me.
By the beloved Phoebe Bridgers. Okay. Oh, so good.
The woman, the myth, the legend.
All of it. All of the above. Okay.
Yes.
So up next is Phoebe Bridgers with Garden Song.
Time to pull up.
Mm-hmm. Someday I'm gonna live in your house up on the hill. And when your skinhead neighbor goes missing, I'll plant a garden in the yard. Then they're gluing roses on a flatbed. You should see it. I mean thousands. I grew up here till it all went up in flames, except the notches in the door frame. I don't know when you got taller. See our reflection in the water. Off a bridge at the Huntington. I hopped the fence when I was 17. Then I knew what I wanted. It's gonna be just like my recurring dream. I'm at the movies. I don't remember what I'm seeing. The screen turns into a tidal wave. Then it's a dorm room like a hedge maze. And when I find you, you touch my leg and I insist, but I wake up before we do it. I don't know how, but I'm taller. It must be something in the water. Everything's growing in our garden. To know that it's haunted. The doctor put her hands over my liver. She told me my resentment's getting smaller. No, I'm not afraid of hard work. I get everything I want.
Red Cat Records is an amazing artist-owned and operated record store. Shop from their diverse online music collection and get free shipping within Vancouver and the Lower Mainland with the purchase of two or more LPs. If you would like to further support them through the evolving COVID-19 crisis, you can do so by buying a gift card to use at a later date. Visit www.redcat.ca for more information.
Okay, that was Garden Songs by Phoebe Bridgers.
Yes. Well,
tell us more. Tell us, why did you add this one?
Well, first of all, I love Phoebe Bridgers, so there was, you know, I had to put one in there, just because she's great, and I feel like a lot of her lyrics are, you know, sad, but also very much words that people can resonate with, and I know that I have. So I chose this one. Because there's a few lines in it that I, yeah, really connected with again. For example, there's a line where it's like, when I grow up, I'm going to look up from my phone and see my life. And it's going to be like a recurring dream. And I kind of feel like that's a pretty, you know, relatable thing for me. Like, kind of, you know, as you get older, you kind of snap out of it and you're like, oh, like, this is how I'm existing now. This is my life. And you're no longer, like, kind of glued to or like distracted, I guess, from, you know, everything that's going on. And I think when I, you know, reflect back on my childhood, it seems so far away now. And, you know, there's also this concept of, you know, not being stuck in the past and, you know, kind of focusing on where you are now and even, you know, moving forward. And I'm definitely the kind of person who for a long time was very much stuck on, you know, things that had happened in the past and just my life. And yeah, I kind of realized, you know, it's good to snap out of it every once in a while and just kind of be present.
Yeah. And how do you be present? What do you do to be present?
Honestly, I, you know, a lot of it has to do with, you know, creating art, with, you know, everything happening around me. I think that kind of helps me ground myself, and that sounds really corny, but, like, I know, like, I do photography, and that's been kind of a way to, you know, go out into the world and try to capture, you know, moments in time, and, you know, because you're, yeah, in the present, just experiencing it all, and you kind of want to have, you know, at least for me, I want to have, like, my images reflect, you know, how I see, like, perspective-wise, and that's been a really big thing for me that has, you know, kind of helped me with that. Yeah, and then other than that, too, just kind of, like, checking in with yourself every so often, being like, how am I actually doing? Am I doing okay? What are my goals? What am I focusing on right now? And, yeah, that kind of thing.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds great. Especially when everything seems to kind of be falling apart at times.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, if I can add to, there's also another line in the song that I think that I really enjoyed, really related to. And it was, what was it? The doctor put her hands over my liver. She told me my resentment's getting smaller. And I really love that line, like, so much. Because I've, you know, I relate to that, and
In what way?
I think from, so for me, it was kind of like, there was, you know, I've had a lot of past experiences that, you know, weren't great. There's a lot of, you know, after talking in therapy for like 3 years, you know, there's a lot of, you know, trauma to unfold in, you know, in my life. And I think everybody kind of has some semblance of difficulty, going through life. And for me, there were a lot of, you know, relationships, whether it be romantic or with friends, that I, you know, had a lot of resentment for, and in how they ended and how they, you know, went about. And kind of as time goes on, I realize that, you know, yeah, you don't have to feel that way. You don't have to hold on to those things, to those people who hurt you. And you can just kind of learn to not necessarily accept it, because, you know, it's not okay to have a shitty friendship, a shitty relationship, but you kind of learn to, yeah, move forward and let go. And so, yeah, I agree with Phoebe. My resentment has gotten smaller since I've, you know, moved forward in my life.
And as you know, it's always great to agree with the lovely Phoebe Bridgers.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So we're on to our last song here. We've kind of gone through your season, yeah. And it seems like a nice narrative arc to where we are now, where it seems, yeah, like things are starting to kind of fold into themselves.
Yes.
And yeah, so we're at now with Masculine Artifice. Now, what by Gloss, or is it GLOSS?
Yeah, Gloss. Yeah, Gloss.
So tell us why you picked this one, and also maybe help us cap off this season.
Oh yeah, this is a very different from the rest of the songs that I have chosen. This is like a hardcore punk song, and but it's actually like by like a band who, the lead singer, she's a trans woman. And yeah, the reason that I picked this one was just kind of, this is kind of where I'm at now. And it's more just, or not now, but even more recently, just realizing that you can, you know, express yourself and be angry and be frustrated. And you don't have to be scared anymore. You can just be, you know, you can allow yourself to, you know, feel all of the things that you're feeling. And I think for me too, just kind of growing in confidence since I've come out, I feel like, you know, I'm allowed to, yeah, just kind of be like a badass, if that makes sense, or just be like, you know, cool and comfortable with myself. And, you know, you're allowed to, you know, have a voice. I think that's a big thing. Having a voice and being okay with having a voice. And I think this is a song that definitely encapsulates that, because, yeah, the artists and the lyrics, you know, they're talking about how it is basically being a trans person and how people perceive you and how it's kind of fucked up how people perceive you sometimes. And yeah, I think for me too, now, knowing what I know now and moving forward since the last few years, I do want to be a voice and be an advocate for like other trans people or people who aren't in the closet and, or who are in the closet. And yeah, it's nice to, yeah, be confident enough to express that now. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll go on to Masculine Artifice, but is there anything that you'd like to kind of have us leave with? Any final words?
Let's see. I think all that I would really say is, you know, going through life, there's going to be, you know, a lot of experiences, and a lot of them, you know, you might not like, and there's a lot of pain, and there's a lot of, you know, pressure from the world around you to feel like you need to be a certain way. But I think over time, you know, things get easier and you can learn to let go and move forward. And I think, yeah, being authentic is the most important thing, and having to recognize that in yourself can be really difficult, and it can definitely be like a battle back and forth for a while. But once you figure it out, or try, or at least kind of get your foot in the door, it's very freeing, basically, and you'll be happier than you've ever been.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, thank you for that. Thank you for this interview, Donovan. I've really enjoyed myself, and I think I've learned a lot. I think we've all learned a lot, and it was lovely hearing more about you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Sean.
Perfect. So we'll play Masculine Artifice on Gloss. I hope you all are doing well out there. I know we're all getting vaccinated as time progresses. So this whole show has kind of happened through this whole pandemic, basically. So it's been kind of cool. And yeah, so I hope everyone out there is doing good. And this is Masculine Artifice by Gloss.
Made possible by the support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Radio Makers Program.